This year, a week before the election, the Portland City Council, headed up by Ted Are There No Workhouses Wheeler, ushered in the holiday season by approving a plan to spend $27 million to build and operate a total of 6 massive militarized camps that will each hold 250 people. It ought to be a deep source of shame for the City of Roses that Joanne Hardesty, who lost her seat in November to right-wing political newbie Renee Gonzalez, cast the sole no vote against the camps. Once the mega camps are in place, anyone found sleeping outside the designated camps would be subject to criminal prosecution, though there are promises of a diversion program. All the hand-wringing media coverage locally and nationally about chaos in Portland helped usher Renee Gonzalez into office. The persistent demonization of Black Lives protesters, anti-fascists, and houseless people has been a boon for housing speculators, rental management companies, and security companies and the like that want to turn up the screws even harder on the city's struggling workers. The Oregonian unapologetically heralded Gonzalez for his, quote, goal to decrease unsanctioned camping and help restore the quality of life that Portland used to be known for, unquote. Never mind the role that developers and housing speculators have played in immiserating the lives of so many workers who can't keep pace with rising rents given intensifying housing speculation coupled with the defunding of public housing. Willamette Week put an even more cynical Dickensian spin on the race. Gonzalez, Willamette Week claimed, in racially coded language, would, quote, return Portland to a simpler time, unquote, quote, restore balance, unquote, to a city that has, quote, lost its way, unquote, a city in, quote, despair, unquote, one that has succumbed to the delusion that our government is, quote, at its most compassionate when it accepts misery and violence as collateral damage in the march of social progress, unquote. Never mind that the misery that most seems to concern both newspapers is the sort that Mr. Potter experiences when he can't monetize Bedford Falls, evict the Martinis, and consign Violet to curb crawling. Willamette Week, like the Oregonian and so much of the Portland city government, is fundamentally disengaged from the misery of the city's elderly and people with disabilities trying to survive on fixed incomes, and from people forced to work multiple jobs to try to keep pace with the rising cost of housing, their health taking hit after hit along the way. Between January and November of this past year, more than 5,000 people were evicted in Multnomah County alone, representing a third of all evictions statewide. People of color, predictably, are overrepresented among the houseless at nearly 40%. Nearly 24% of the county's houseless are 55 or older. Wander down among Portland's houseless encampments, and it's not at all unusual to see people in wheelchairs and on walkers. Old man Tiny Tim would be SOL here. Your apartment's gone, now move along. No Christmas goose for you, my friend. If you're not already disabled when you hit the street, there's a good chance you will be soon. The life expectancy of a chronically houseless person in the U.S. is about 50 years old. Small wonder when our houseless human kin are pushed to the brink by sleep deprivation, sexual and physical assault, head injuries, and at times sucking down forest fire and tear gas night after night. Compare the relentless media attention to the threats to profit and property values ostensibly posed by Black Lives protesters, anti-fascists, and houseless people to the relatively scant attention devoted to the existential threat that the 6-mile-long Northwest Portland tank farm poses to the Columbia River and the entire region. If you thrive on being scared, you might give a listen to Barbara Bernstein's 2020 interview with Jay Wilson about what's likely to happen to those tanks when the big one hits. A 2022 study now estimates nearly 200 million gallons of toxic petrochemical soup is headed into the Willamette close by its confluence with the Columbia River. The resulting spill would vie in scale with the BP Deepwater Horizon, the country's largest oil spill to date. The resulting fires and explosions are likely to do to Forest Park and a large swath of Portland what Mrs. O'Leary's cow purportedly did to Chicago in 1871. The costs of catastrophes and the attending displacement, of course, are inevitably socialized, borne by local and federal taxpayers, while oil companies walk away with the house. Accumulation through dispossession is how Marxist geographer David Harvey describes the basic law of capitalism. And yet, locally and nationally, the existential threat that the tank farm, Zenith Energy, and big oil, coal, and petrochemicals pose to the Willamette and Columbia Rivers barely registers in the media in comparison to the continual scapegoating of our friends on the street, whether they're houseless, agitating and organizing for racial justice, or your garden variety anti-fascist. National Homeless Persons Memorial Day is coming up on December 21st. In 2020, 126 people died houseless on streets, doorways, and sidewalks in Multnomah County. Nearly 2,000 people died in alleys and underpasses in Los Angeles County in 2020. In most cities, the dead go uncounted. The data isn't even collected. We know what the answer to houselessness is, and it's not militarized camps. It's housing. The motto of Seattle's Share Wheel, quote, without shelter, people die, unquote, is a simple truth. Houselessness is cut short by decades the lives of some of my closest friends. Rebuilding and restoring HUD, investing in public housing locally and nationally, is one of the single best things we can do for workers in this country. Public housing gives workers a position of strength to negotiate from. The 1% know this, but they also know that houselessness is useful. It's a stick they use to beat us with, a threat they use to keep us awake at night, to make us work harder, to make us knuckle under to the boss. To get a sense of what the 2021 military budget directed domestically could have paid for in the way of public housing, healthcare, VA benefits, Head Start, K-12 higher ed, and living wage clean energy jobs, check out the National Priorities Project. It's a great organizing tool. Let's start using and teaching it. In a November 18th segment, OPB's Dave Miller asked Hardesty about the no vote she cast on Wheeler's massive militarized $27 million camp for houseless people. Hardesty said, I'm terrified of what that means for people struggling on our streets today. Imagine, Hardesty says, sounding more than a little like George Bailey of Bailey Brothers Building and Loan, quote, what we would do if we could take that $27 million and put people in housing, unquote. This holiday season, let's recommit ourselves to struggling against the Potters, Scrooges, and Grinches of the world and their endless subsidy-sucking political proxies. We will not let them jam Christmas trees up our chimneys and tell us they're fixing something. We will say no to their legislative strike breaking, their camps and border fences, their chemicals and pipelines, their endless money for cops, prisons, weapons, and wars that shred bodies and lives. We will not let them, out of their own deep personal pathologies, hoard all the money and resources or pit us against each other. We will not let them boil our precious, one and only, holy, irreplaceable, mother-loving dust speck. We are here.
There'll be no peace.
There'll be no peace.
There'll be no peace.